Hey, this is Eric, and welcome to Control-Alt-Achieve for January 9th, 2023, where we take a look at our EdTech Links of the Week. Well, hey, hello everybody, and welcome to Control-Alt-Achieve Live for January 9th, 2023. Thank you so much for joining me here tonight live, or watching the recording later, or listening to the recording later. Whichever way you're connecting, thank you so much for being here. As normal, you can get to all of the resources for tonight at bit.ly/CAA-live. That will take you to a Google document. And if you head on down to page 2 of that document, that's where you're going to find all of the links that we're going to be exploring here in just a little bit tonight. All right, well, let's get on into it. So, the first thing that we're going to be talking about is a website called Keep the Score. Let me go ahead and pop that one open here and give you a little explanation of what this is. So this is a website that allows you to track points for activities, competitions, goals, teams, sports, whatever the case might be. And what's really nice about this is it's all online and it is free as far as most of the features. Now, there are some things that you can get when for a premium cost. You see there's a Go Premium link up there. And if we pull up the pricing real quick here, you'll see that they do have some pricing options, but I'm always about free things. And so what's so cool is this site allows you for free to have up to 50 people to use custom themes and colors, to create unlimited boards, to download your data afterwards as well. So with that in mind, what is it? How does it work? So basically what you can do here is you can come here and click on the start here button and you can create a scoreboard. And there's lots of different kinds you can create. So a leaderboard is going to be keeping track of either individual players or teams as they are adding points over a period of time. Or you can do a scoreboard with rounds, or you can do a live sports scoreboard. I think the leaderboard makes a lot of sense for a school setting. You know, maybe you're, you know, tracking points between different teams or different classes, or even within a class, how many points students have earned on whatever tasks they are completing. It doesn't have to be a game. It could be, you know, different goals that they're setting to try to accomplish. So let's say we want to create a leaderboard. Well, it's really simple, really quick and easy to do. I'll just come in here and I'll just call this demo leaderboard. We'll just keep it real simple for now. And then what I can do is add however many players that I want to put in here. And so for simplicity's sake, I'll just leave it at 4 for right now. And I'll go ahead and click add players. And now it does want player names. So we'll just call these team A, team B, team C, and team D. We'll keep it pretty simple for right now. We'll hit create board. And that's it. As quickly as that, we have created a live leaderboard here. Because I am logged in, this will keep track of that over time. I can come back to it and I just, you know, logged in with my account there on the site. You don't have to log in to make one of these boards, but to be able to get back to it, it's nice to be able to do that. Now, at this point, I could do a number of things with this board. For example, I could start awarding points. So if I hit like a +1 or a +5 or a +1 or another +1, you'll see that they start rearranging as I'm doing that. It's updating that leaderboard as we go. In addition to that, we can share this out with students or whoever to be able to watch this. So if I came here and hit the share button, I could say, let's share this as a public link, and I could copy that link. And now if I open up an incognito window and I put that in there, you'll see that that is going to be a live version of that board. And so if they were to come here, they could see that leaderboard and it's live, it updates. So if I come over here and say, hey, suddenly we've got, you know, this team got 5 points, and then, you know, then they added another point and now they're in the lead, you'll see that it's automatically updating over there as well, which is really nice. Couple other little quick things about this that I think are pretty neat. If you don't want to type everybody's names in, if you've got a big group of folks, you actually can do something where you copy and paste them in. So for example, let's say I've got a spreadsheet here, and these are not real student names, just some fake names here. So let's say I've got a spreadsheet with my students' names in there. What I can do is if I go into the edit options here. If I go into the edit options, I can go to this option for entering data, and I can say, I want to do bulk editing. And as long as I do that, as long as I turn that on, now anytime I want, I can click update leaderboard, and it will let me just paste in the names of the teams. Now, in this case, since I already started this one, it's going to overwrite what I've got there, but that's fine. It's no problem. So let me come in and grab these students here. We will copy them, and we'll come back over here, and then we will just paste that in. And now if I hit next, it's going to update the leaderboard, and boom, there we go. I've got all of them in, and now we're ready to start tracking our students as well. And you can have other fun with it. We can go into edit, and we could change like the appearance. They've got all kinds of themes that you can pick from. It's still winter right now, so maybe we'll go with something kind of wintry, and we'll hit save. And now we've got a nice wintry leaderboard. So just really neat to see how quickly you would be able to put together a leaderboard or a scoreboard for your class, for your students, for, you know, different classes across the school, whatever the case might be, to be able to track as students are competing or, again, just striving toward goals. Again, totally free for everything that I showed you there, which is always great. Always happy to find things that are free. We've got Eileen saying this is a great resource. Well, hey, I'm glad to hear that. Oh, hey, Peggy George has joined us. Hey, thanks so much for being here, Peggy. Thanks for taking the time to join us tonight. All right, well, let's go ahead and we will keep on moving here onto our next resource, which is TeachFlix. So TeachFlix actually comes from Matt Miller, and in Ditch That Textbook, you're probably familiar with Matt. I'm sure everybody here is. Matt's a great, great guy. And this is one of his projects that has come out of his Ditch That Textbook work. And it's basically a crowdsourced educational version of Netflix, where what they've done is they have done a collection of vetted educational videos to use with your students. Now it is still kind of new, so it's growing. They're going to be adding more and more and more things to this, but they've already got a really nice start here. So if you come to the TeachFlix website, we can browse a couple of ways. You can type in a search term if you're looking for something specific. You can also browse by age level, or you can go by content area. And they've definitely covered lots of content areas here. So let's say I go to science, for example. Well, when I do that, this is now going to bring up science videos that, again, these are ones that, you know, somebody has taken the time to vet. They've gone through, they've looked at this, and they say, yes, this is valuable, this is good, this is something that's going to work well in a school setting, and they've connected it with the subject area and the content that it's related to. And so I can just keep on scrolling down here and loading more of these as we go. Now, I can also go into a little bit more specifics instead of just science in general. I could say, well, maybe I'm doing life science, and now it'll narrow it down even more for us. Now, if you get there and say, this is really cool, but oh, I wish it had more videos. Well, hey, you're in luck, because that's what they want you to do. So at the bottom, you see it says, would you like to submit a video to the TeachFlix video library? Please fill out this form here. And there's a link to a form that you can then fill out to submit videos as well. And that's what's going to make this really work well, is folks working together and crowdsourcing this and building up this resource. So neat to have that available. Thanks to Matt and his team for putting that together. Awesome. All right. And hey, Kristen is saying hi from Massachusetts. Nice to have you with us here tonight, Kristen. Thanks for saying hi. All right, let's keep on moving. Give me a second to pull up our next one. Okay, so the next one here, you may say, Eric, did you have did you have a typo? Is that actually the name of a resource? And actually it is. 4 equals 10. Not only is it a seemingly incorrect mathematical expression, but it, again, doesn't seem like really the name of an educational resource, but it is. So this is a math resource. And what this one is a casual number puzzle game that is for iOS and for Android. And it's totally free. Again, if you know me, you know I'm all about free. Everything I share is either completely free or it has a free version that is very, you know, good for classroom use. Well, this one is completely free and no ads. No ads, nothing at all, just a totally free app. And the idea behind this one is what you're going to do is it's going to give you 4 numbers, and your job is to get them to equal 10. And you can use, you know, addition, subtraction, multiplication, division. You can use parentheses. And because it is a iOS or Android app, because it's an Android app, that also means you could also run it on a Chromebook, because Chromebooks can run Android apps. So let's do this. I'm going to actually pull my Chromebook over onto the screen here. So there we go. So I have connected my Chromebook through Chrome Remote Desktop. So now I am going to move my other mouse. There we go. We'll see how well I can do this. It's challenging enough sometimes to manage one computer. We're going to try 2 here tonight. So I've got my Chromebook connected through Chrome Remote Desktop. And on my Chromebook, if I come down to the bottom and go to the launcher, you'll see I've installed 4 equals 10. Now, again, it is an Android app, so you could run this on your phone or tablet, or it's an iOS app, so iPad or iPhone. But because it's an Android app, you can run those on Chromebooks if you've enabled Android support on your Chromebook. So talk to your tech folks if that is not the case. But I'm going to go ahead and launch this. And again, we're just going to take a quick look at it. We won't go through too many. There's 500 rounds. We're not going to do all 500 rounds of this. And it starts off really, really, really simple. And it kind of works up from there. So basically it says, hey, you're going to use these operators to try to get all of these to equal up to 10. You're allowed to move the numbers around if you want to as well. And if you successfully do it, you can move on to the next level. And if you need, you can get 1 solution per day if you end up getting stuck. Now, again, it starts off really simple. So we're trying to add up to 10 and we've got 1, 2, 3, and 4, which, yeah, those do just literally add up to 10. So if I drag my plus up there, yeah, I'm just going to get 10. Now, the first couple of them were like that, you know, same here, you know, 2 plus 5 is 7. We could really do anything with the 0. We could add it or subtract it. It's not going to matter, but that'll get us to 10. Now, before too long, and again, you're saying, Eric, they're all pretty simple. This is just easing you into it. It's just getting you kind of ready. And then we start to get to things where, okay, now a little bit different. We can't just add these up. We could say we want to add the 1 and maybe add the 3, but then we need to take the 1 back away to keep it at 10. And that's the idea. So the idea behind this is that it's a fun way. It's an engaging way for students to work on their math skills and see if they can make it through all 500 levels. And again, totally free. And that's awesome. Really, really appreciate that this has been put out there for us for free with no ads at all. All right. Well, I'm going to move that off of the screen there. And we'll pop on back over to our list of links. And Eileen, thank you so much. Eric and Matt Miller inspire me every day. Well, hey, I really appreciate that. Thanks so much. Peggy did ask, is it only whole numbers? And that's a good question, Peggy. I didn't go deep enough into it to see if it started giving any decimals or fractions or anything like that. So I'm not sure. My gut feeling is it is only whole numbers, but they get complicated as it starts going. It's like, okay, how can I possibly add, subtract, multiply, divide, and use parentheses to get these to end up being 10? So, but I do think it is only whole, at least that's all I saw as I went through it. All right. Well, hey, let's keep on going. So our next tool that we have up is called Words Tool. Now, when you go to the website, you may not be able to tell at first because it uses, I think, all lowercase letters. And so I wasn't sure if it was Word Stool or Words Tool, but I was able to look up at the actual name up in the tab, and I can see they capitalized the T up there, even though it doesn't get capitalized in the logo there. So it is Words tool. So what is this site? So basically, this is another free site. Yes, there is a paid option, but the free option is fantastic. This is a free option where you can create and share vocabulary exercises for your students. So the way it works is you create these cards, and I'll show you one for real. This is just the front page of the site, and it does a nice job of laying it out, but I'll actually log in and show you one here in a second. But it gives you these cards, and basically you put the vocab word on the card, and then you can fill in as much or as little as you want. So for example, you can add example sentences to the card. You can add synonyms and antonyms. You can add an image. You can either upload one or pull one from Unsplash. You can put in a definition for the word. You can use their pronunciation, or you can add your own in there. Now, if you're doing this for world languages, you can also put in a translation. So you could use it either way. This could be somebody's learning another language, so you're putting the word in here in English, and then you're also putting in the translation. And so somebody could be using this as a flashcard to learn another language, but you don't have to. You can leave that out, because this could just be we're taking vocabulary words from our content area and we're connecting them to a definition or to sentences that they would be used in or things like that. All right. So it starts off by you creating these cards. That's the first thing you do. And then you put those into sets. And so the sets are going to be like, weather or, films, books, talking about art, lots of different examples here. Well, you get to make up, whatever you want it to be. So whatever your unit is, whatever your topic is, you collect all of those word cards together into a set. And then what you can do is you can push those out to, you can share those with students as an assignment or as a link out to them. And then there's five different types of games they can play with them. There's a dictation game, a matching game, an anagram game, a multiple choice game, and a fill word game that they can play with them. And of course, you can structure those however you want. You can say, okay, I want them to go through and learn about the words first, and then I want them to practice it with these different games. And there's a lot of things you can control as you set that up. And that's pretty much it. You assign it to the students, you track their progress and see how they did. Again, the free version is unlimited sets, the task builder, your students, task progress. That's awesome. So I'm going to go ahead and log in real quick and just show you. I did do one earlier just to play around with and just see how this worked. And I was really happy with it. It really turned out well. It does take just a moment to get logged in there. There we go. We're getting on in there. And so I've already gone ahead and I've created a set. I just picked emotions. I thought that would be easy. I tried to go with something easy. And so if I come in here, you'll see that I added four words: surprise, sadness, embarrassment, and anger. And for each one of these, you'll see I put in some sentences. I put in synonyms. I put in a definition. I put in an image. Some of them I added antonyms as well, just kind of depended. And again, I can click this.
Sadness.
It'll use their voice to read that. I didn't upload my own recordings there. And then if I wanted to add another word, it'd be real simple. I would just come here to add a word, and I could type in the word that I want. So if it was joy, for example, and I could fill in the sentences, the definition, the synonyms, antonyms, the image. If I click there, I can upload an image, or I can just go to Unsplash and it will search for an image there as well. So after I did that, then I put those together into a task. And so this was my task that I created here. And basically what I did was I said, let's start by learning to just give them to you as flashcards. And then we can try out these with multiple choice and matching and anagrams and so forth. So I think I should be able, there we go, there's a play button. And so you'll see basically the first step is just going through the cards. So basically it's like flashcards. So you're learning them, you're going through, you're reading them, you're learning them, but then you get to try them out. So in this case, I'm matching the word with the definition here and going on. I won't go through all of these, but again, there's five different types of games you can play, and you can even, customize all of those games as well. So pretty neat. Yeah. Now out of the corner of my eye, I saw the comment come up. Peggy says, do you think you could create those using ChatGPT, the words for it? Peggy, is so interesting. I was thinking the exact same thing because when I was making these earlier today, I was trying to come up with sentences. I'm like, okay, what's a good sentence to go along with this? And that was my first thought. I thought, what if I just go to ChatGPT and say, hey, give me four sentences with the word surprise? But it was too busy today. I couldn't get logged into it. I don't know if you were having the same problem with that, but I went to ChatGPT a couple times this afternoon for exactly that purpose. And unfortunately, it kept saying, we are currently, you know, maxed out or whatever, you know, and I couldn't get logged in. But yes, I thought that would be perfect because it could give me synonyms, antonyms, it could give me sentences, it could give me a definition. Absolutely. What a great way to leverage that ChatGPT AI tool with a tool like Words Tool. Absolutely. You could just pair those up together, let it help create these, and then you can give these to your students so they can go through and try these out. So pretty neat. Like it, like it, like it. Yes. Looks like it's been a busy day for all. Kristen says, I wanted to use it today to make some text too. And yes, it was busy all day. I don't know. Maybe they're making some updates to it or something like that. That could be the case as well. But good stuff. Well, speaking of ChatGPT, how about that for a segue? Our final link from around the web before we jump into my stuff. Just a real quick one. This was a slideshow I came across that I thought was really nice and just wanted to get it on your radar. If you haven't seen it, this is from Tori Trust. She's an ed tech professor at the University of Massachusetts in Amherst. And this has been making the rounds lately. I've seen a couple of people mention this, share it. It's shown up here and there. And so I took some time to dive into it. And it's just this freely shared slideshow that she's been putting together to try to just pull as much ChatGPT content into one place as possible. And she's done a really nice job. And so if you're wanting to get somebody up to speed on what is this ChatGPT thing, or if you're wanting to dig deeper into it, if you go down through here, you'll see she's got lots of great sections in here. You know, what is ChatGPT? Goes through the whole thing. Gives a bunch of examples, you know, putting in questions and getting responses. But then what do you need to know about it? You know, privacy things. You know, is it trustworthy? How it can make stuff up, and on and on. And then what can it do? You know, writing essays, writing lesson plans, designing outlines and syllabuses, learning objectives, tests and quizzes. There you go. And you know, writing scripts and rubrics and on and on. And then also talks about what else could we do with it. Speaking of Matt Miller earlier, Matt has a fantastic post on Ditch That Textbook. There's a great link in here out to that where he pulled a lot of this stuff together as well. It's a really nice post there. And then she goes into like, what does ChatGPT not do yet? But then we start talking about, okay, so with all that said, what does that mean we need to do as educators? And this is not the end all be all answers here, but she goes through a lot of really good thoughts about what sort of things might we need to change? How might we want to think differently about our assignments? How are we going to, you know, move forward by not just saying, oh, you know, let's just block it? Because like, I think New York Public Schools blocked it. I think that was an article I saw recently, you know. And, you know, if that's not the answer, well, then how do we actually leverage this? How do we use this well in an educational setting? And then at the very end, she's got additional resources. Now, what's great about this is it's not a PDF. You know, this is not done. This is, as she says at the very first slide here, this is a work in progress and will continue to be updated as new resources, research, and ideas are published. So I think that's great. I just wanted to share that with you because, I know we've talked about ChatGPT before, so I don't want to go into that any more than we need to, but I thought this is a really nice collection of information, and I wanted to get it on your radar if you had not seen it yet. So awesome. All right. Oh, hey, we're seeing some great comments popping up here. Peggy says, love Amherst, lived there for 15 years. And let's see, taught at the College of Education at UMass. Oh, that's fantastic, Peggy. That is great. And yes, I agree. That is a great slideshow. And then Kristen said, this is a great resource for when admin tries to block it. Yeah, these are the kind of discussions we need to be having. And a lot of great things are mentioned here in this slideshow to get us thinking. All right. Good stuff. Well, guys, that gets us to the end of our first portion. We always start off with things I've seen around the web recently that caught my eye. And please do send things my way. If you come across something, I would love to hear from you. Share resources with me. I try to find as many awesome ones as I can each week, but always looking for more. So let's move to the second half of our session tonight, where we talk about things, some links of the week that are from my blog. So I only had one major post this week and then a couple of small minor posts. So we're going to touch on my major post from this week, which was creating photo words with Google Slides. There's a blog post and a video for this one. Now, this one was a work in progress. I'm going to let you know, I didn't just pop this one out over the weekend. I actually started working on this back in late December. So this has been a couple of weeks in progress because it was an idea that really intrigued me. And I just really had to wrestle with it. I had to take some time to try it out 10 different ways and figure out, okay, how do I share this with people in a way that's easy to understand, that can get them started and get them going, but then have options to go deeper if they want to. So let's talk about what this is. Okay, so what do I mean when I say creating photo words with Google Slides? Well, the thing was, I saw a post. I apologize, I don't remember who it was. Somebody had shared a post, I think it was on Facebook, and they were using some Adobe products, and they had created this really cool thing where they took their name and they put pictures of themselves inside of each letter of their name. And I thought, that is so cool. What a neat way kids would love that. Take their name and put pictures of themselves inside of the letters. Now they were using, I'm pretty sure, Photoshop or some Adobe product. And I thought, I wonder, is there any way we can do that with Google? Because not every school has access to all the same tools. And so Google Slides is a nice thing that most everybody has access to. And it turned out, yes, I was able to figure out how to do it. And so what I ended up creating, these examples I have here, these are all from Google Slides. Honestly, I made them all in Google Slides with just public domain images or my own pictures. There's no extensions, no add-ons. It's just Google Slides. So for example, I did a one word for 2023 where I picked the word focus and put this guy staring out at a sunset. I thought that was good. Then I did my name. And so here's me speaking at ISTE and FETC and different places like that. I did one for different places I traveled in 2022. I did one for Ohio where I live. Then I started getting a little creative. I did the New York skyline. And in this case, I didn't just put the image inside of the letters. I let the image bleed out to the bottom too, to show the water below. Then I really got creative with sunset. Same thing. This is one whole image, but I filled it into the letters here and then let it extend down below and change the background. I did the same thing with dive, but I flipped it and put the word at the bottom. Then I got really crazy and I did a hamburger where I left the top and bottom alone and I put the word in the middle. And then I got really crazy and I made an animated GIF out of one of them as well. So anyway, that's the end result. Now, how did I do it? I'm not going to go through the whole process right now because I've got a complete video you can watch at your leisure. I don't want to bore anybody by going through it all over again. So this is a 16-minute video that goes step by step through everything that I did to create one of these. And so you can watch that there. I'll give you just the Cliff Notes version here real quick. But even then, even that 16-minute video that I did, it's still pretty basic because you can get really creative with this. You can go a lot of different directions. So this, depending upon when you're watching, if you're here with me live, this Thursday, I am going to do another live stream. So this Thursday, I'm going to do a live stream, same time, 7 p.m., where I'm basically just going to run through some more advanced examples. So it's just going to be more of a work session. So I'm going to take a couple of the more advanced ones and kind of just go step by step. How did I do this? How did I make this work? And, because some of those are a little bit fancier than some of the others, and give people time to try it out too and share what they create. So it's going to be a live stream work session on going deeper into this. Now you can, of course, get that in the blog post. There's the live stream links as well. I also have, of course, that, at the top here under the live streams there. And I think I put it here as well. So yep, there it is. Here's the live stream link. links for that as well. Now, do you have a registration link? You don't have to register, but that allows me to be able to send you updates if things change. It allows you to be able to submit questions ahead of time. It's, of course, everything's free. It's always free. But if you want to register, that helps me to be able to keep you in the loop if anything changes on that. So again, I'm not going to go through the whole process right now because, again, that's what that whole video there is for. But I'll just give you the real quick gist here. So what I'll do is, let's say I wanted to create this one here. And again, I'm going to do this really, really quick. I'm not going to do all the bells and whistles. The idea is, what I'm doing is I'm combining word art with a picture. Now, normally I would go out and find all these, and but I've already put them in here just to save time. So this is word art. This is just regular old word art. You go insert word art. Okay, so that's word art. So I typed in the word focus and I put that on there. And then I found this picture, which was, you know, the guy looking at the sunset that I wanted to put in there. Now, the problem is, and I'm sure you realize this, if I copy that picture and I try to put it here, well, how do I get them to go together? You know, I mean, I can put the picture behind it. I can use the arrange option to send it behind, but that's not putting it inside of it. And so the whole key to what made this work, and I didn't think this was going to work. And I thought, well, the only way I can think of in a Google slideshow or any Google tool to make this work is I've got to find a special font. I need a font that is inverted. What I mean is, most fonts are filled in inside of the letter and then they're transparent outside. I need the flip. I need a font that is transparent inside the letters and then is filled in outside of the letters. And so I went to Google Fonts. I headed out to Google Fonts. Oops, if I could spell fonts, that would be helpful there. Oh, I cannot spell fonts here today. Sorry, guys. I went out to Google Fonts and I literally scrolled through 1,481 fonts trying to find one. And I did. It's actually called Zilla. Of course, it has a Z, so it's going to be at the end of the list there. But it's called Zilla Slab Highlight. And it is exactly what we need. Zilla Slab is a reversed font. It's transparent inside the letters and filled in outside. Now, I hope Google realizes this is really cool. And I hope they add more of these kind of fonts, because I'd love to have more options. But basically, if I take this this focus, which is just in Calibri or whatever, or Arial, I guess, if I come up here and I turn it into Zilla, and then I make it bold, you can see already, I can see through it. And so basically, that's the idea. That's the trick. It's using that font. Now, there's a lot of other things we can do to make it a little bit fancier and stuff. So like, I talk about how do you line up the picture? And so I talk about, you know, going into the format options and making the picture partially transparent so you can see both the picture and the text at the same time. That way you can kind of resize things so they just fit right. Say, okay, I want this guy inside of the U, so I got to make this a little bit bigger. And you just keep messing with it till you get it, you know, just the way you want. Still a little bit off, but you get the idea. Let me see if I can get him right. There we go. I think I got him in there now. That looks pretty good. And then, of course, I can double click on the image to crop it so that it goes inside of the box, the word art box, because I don't want the picture sticking outside of it. I need it to be inside of there. And that's about it. Once I've got it in there, now I'm just going to take that picture, drop the transparency back down. Then I'm going to arrange, I'm going to order it, send it to the back so it's in the background. And then I'm just going to fill this in. I'll fill in my word art with white and the border with white. And that's about it. Now, that's a really, really, really basic version of it. I go into more detail in the video, and this Thursday, we're going to go into a lot more detail on how we can do some of the more advanced ones, like, you know, where we're having like this bleed at the bottom where you got the word and the picture like that. If we have time, maybe we'll even get into like animated GIFs with it, stuff like that. I don't know. We're just going to see. It'll be like a work session. So anyway, I had a lot of fun creating that. And I think this could be really great for students. So many possibilities here, whether it is a student who is doing their word of the year, or just taking their name and sharing things about themselves, or, you know, wrapping up a year, what were some highlights from the year, or, you know, making one for a place they visited, or just a vocab word. Think about just being able, whether it's you as a teacher making or the students, but being able to add that visual element. How much easier it would be to learn a vocab word, to learn how to spell it, to be able to visualize it if you've got it built into an image that connects thematically to the word itself. You know, if somebody's trying to learn how to spell burger, if they can just, some people are visual, you just picture that burger and now it's in your mind. You're going to know how to spell that, you know, from there on out. So I don't know. I'm really excited more than anything to see what people do with this. So please, if you do make some of these, please send them my way. I think I've asked for people to use the hashtag photo word, I believe. Let me see. Let me go down. Got to remember what I said as well there. That's a big, long post there. There it is. Yeah, photo word. So I'm using the hashtag photo word, but you can just tag me or you can just email me. I would love to see what you create, because I guarantee you there are so many creative people that are going to come up with amazing ideas on how to use this in a lot of creative ways. So anyway, so that was my big share from this week. And again, I've been working on this for several weeks. It took a while to kind of get it to the spot where I felt it was okay to share out with everybody. So let's take a look here. I do see some stuff popping up here in our chat. We've got a lot of people saying, very cool. I am so glad to hear that you guys like that. That's awesome. Eileen says, my students will love making these photo words. That is great. Andy saying, so many uses. I agree with you, Andy. I think there's a lot of ways that we're going to be able to use this in creative ways. That's really cool. Maria says, do you recommend grouping the word art and the image? Yeah, you sure can. I guess it depends on what you're going to do with it. Like, if my end result here is to take this and just download it and say, I'm going to download it as a PNG because I'm going to take this now and do something else with it, then we're fine. You know, no worries at all. If you were wanting to group them, you sure could. You can just take your mouse and select to grab everything. So that grabs it all together. Because like right now, if I click on the word art and I start moving it, you'll see it goes off of it. So if you were worried about not having it move, you could just take your mouse, select everything and say group. And now that it's grouped, if I click on it, it won't accidentally, they won't come apart. So yeah, that's a great suggestion. That's a great, great, great suggestion. And by the way, there's so many of those great things that I hope we get into. So thank you. That's a wonderful question. I hope we get into those things this Thursday with our more in-depth session that we'll do. By the way, I know I'm demonstrating this in slides. You can do the exact same thing in Google Drawings. I did choose slides just because I thought more people are familiar with it. But in some ways, this is even easier in Google Drawings. I just know not everybody is as familiar with it. It's the same process. Drawings, I think, just makes it a little bit easier in some aspects of that. All right. Then Peggy says, since this is a Google font, does it only work with Google Documents and slides? So yes, my example that I'm doing here, the way I'm showing it, because we're using it as a web font, this is a Google web font, then that needs to be used inside of a Google product for the online usage of it. But no, you can actually do this other places. For example, Google Fonts allows you to download fonts. So if you're on like a Windows or a Mac computer, you can download the font, install it on your computer, and then you could do this in your own local program. If you use Microsoft Word, if you use PowerPoint, if you use some graphics program, you can download the font. And again, this is only one font that does this on Google Fonts. I guarantee you there's a bunch of other fonts out there that do this. And I also guarantee you there's other ways to do this. This is not the normal way you do this. Normally in a program like Photoshop or some of those, you're going to do what's called masking or cutout or something like that. We're jumping through some hoops here to make this work. But again, not everybody has those tools. So that was the idea, was to give folks a way to use a tool that I know everybody has for that. Awesome. Kristen says she's going to tweet out her creation tomorrow. Looking forward to it. Peggy reminding, use that hashtag photo word. That is great. Excellent. Eileen says, I could use this with the book Martin's Big Words. Ah, I love it. Good stuff here. Yeah, Kristen is saying you could probably do this in Canva. I guarantee you, Canva's got a way to do this. Adobe's got a way to do this. There's lots and lots of ways. This is how, if you're using Google Slides, this is the way that you can get it done. All right. Well, guys, that hits the big thing I had to share, which was the photo words and then my upcoming webinar on that. The other two things are just real quick, but I definitely want to give them a shout out because it's so important to let folks know. If you're going to be attending the Midwest EdTech Summit or the NC Ties conference, I'm going to be at both of those. So real quick, just to get those on your radar, the Midwest EdTech Summit is up in Wisconsin Dells, Wisconsin. And so I've gone to this for several years. It's a fantastic conference. Great, great place. Matt Miller is going to be there. This seems like the Matt Miller episode. He's going to be there this year as well. I believe Matt is doing the keynote this year there and a whole bunch of sessions as well. I will be there and I'll be doing a bunch of fun sessions, some Google Sheets, some Chromebooks, some Google Docs, some YouTube stuff. So you can come here and see my full list of sessions and all my resources that I'll be doing for that. If you're still curious about attending it, just follow the link here so you can head on out to that. That is March 6th. That will be. And then the other one that I got my sessions confirmed for is NC Ties. And I love the NC Ties conference. Fantastic. So this is in Raleigh, North Carolina. This one is the same week. So I'll be at the Midwest on March 6th, but then on March 8th through 10th is the NC Ties. Here's the link to get out to their registration page where you can learn more about that as well. I'm doing a lot of sessions there because it's over several days. So I'll be doing things all 3 days. Now, the first day is a little bit different. It's like pre-conference workshops. So I'm doing a deep dive slideshow session, and my Control Alt Achieve book is included free in with that workshop for people that attend it. And then I'll also be doing lots of other sessions on the other days as well. So just want to give a big shout out to NC Ties and the Midwest EdTech Summit as well. Coming up very soon, we've got we have our FETC conference as well. I know if you ever wonder what I'm at, best thing to do is just go to Control Alt Achieve and go to my calendar tab. So at the top, you'll see there's a calendar tab up here. This lists all the things. So here's FETC and all my sessions I'm doing for FETC and on down the line, OETC and, you know, Midwest and NC Ties, USET, KISTI, and on down the line. So it's a great way to see where I'll be, and hopefully I can see you guys at some of these places. All right. Well, that gets me to the end of what I was going to share here tonight. Those are my EdTech links of the week. I hope you found some valuable resources there. Just as a reminder to you, if you want to connect with me in the future on these, typically it's Monday nights. So our next one is next Monday night, January 6th. You can add that that calendar, that event right to your calendar with this link. And if you want to, you can subscribe to the entire Control Alt Achieve calendar and just automatically get all these things on there as well. Well, guys, I want to thank you so very much for taking the time to be here tonight. Thank you so much for all the contributions. Great questions, great comments. I really appreciate that a lot. Look forward to learning with you guys again next week. So everybody take care, and I'll talk to you again next week.